It's Friday, April 24th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. I am so excited about all the contacts I am making all around the country in places I never thought we could get a normal chapter started. Today I'm calling out the state of Kentucky. That's right, I've gotten four different contacts from Kentucky. I'm looking for a fifth to help us start a normal chapter there in Kentucky. I understand they grow some pretty good marijuana in that state. Seems like we should have a normal chapter there. If you're listening to this podcast and you want to get involved with a normal chapter in your area or to start one in your area, send me an email at chapters@normal.org or give me a call toll free at 888-7-RADICAL. That's 888-772-3422. I also want to congratulate Georgia Normal for coming online in Atlanta, Georgia. Check them out online at ganormal.org. They're looking for new members to build the chapter. Also, I got a call from a gentleman named Pat Glass, who's in Louisiana, a disabled young man who's looking to move to California so that he can gain legal access to his medicine. Unfortunately, as a disabled man on a fixed income, he's pretty low in the money category. Looking for anyone out there California way who'd like to help him out by renting a room so he doesn't have to suffer anymore in Louisiana. If you've got any way to help him out, just send me an email at stash@normal.org. and I'll put you in touch with Pat. Finally, I want to welcome Dude Master as a new front page contributor to the Stash blog at stash.normal.org. He's writing from deep in the heart of Texas and will continue bringing excellent news stories and commentary, and I'll be bringing some of that here to you on the Stash podcast. Now, coming up on today's podcast, we've got your hemp headlines, including an update on the Charles Lynch case in California. A New Hampshire committee has passed medical marijuana, and it goes on to the full Senate. Senator Jim Webb says that legalization of marijuana is on the table in his prison reform package, and some interesting notes from the victory in Kitsap County, Washington, for medical marijuana provider Bruce Olson. Today is the fourth Friday of the month, and that inaugurates our new segment here on the Daily Audio Stash, Cultivation Corner, with High Times Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko. In our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, It's a Rap Friday brings us Breathe Life with the tune Lockbox. And in our Cannabis Conversations to end the day, we're going to speak to an everyday, normal cannabis consumer named Jonathan Duddy, and his experience getting busted for marijuana and the terror that it strikes into him to this day. If this doesn't remind you why we're here fighting for an end to adult marijuana prohibition, I don't know what will. All right, folks, you've got 1 week left before the Global Marijuana March taking place on May 2nd. Get your march details at our activist agenda at stash.normal.org/agenda or visit globalmarijuanamarch.org for the city near you. We've got some signs you can download. Just go to the search box at the Stash and you'll find them. It's also the last week in April, and you know what they say. April showers bring May flowers. And I know what kind of flowers I'm looking forward to. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Judge Wu, quote, "If I could find a way out of sentencing Charles Lynch to a 5-year minimum, I would," end quote. From the Los Angeles Times. The sentencing of a man who has become a key figure in the national debate over medical marijuana was postponed Thursday, with a federal judge saying he was inclined to impose a more lenient sentence than the 5 years required by federal sentencing guidelines, but questioning whether he had the authority to do so. U.S. District Judge George H. Wu said, quote, "If I could find a way out, I would," end quote. He gave lawyers in the case until June 2nd to file briefs regarding the impending sentence of Charles Lynch. Lynch, age 47, ran a medical marijuana dispensary in Morro Bay on the Central Coast in 2006 and 2007. Despite having the blessing of the city's mayor and other public officials, he was charged with violating federal drug laws for distributing marijuana and was convicted by a federal court jury in Los Angeles last year. Cultivating, using, and selling doctor-recommended medical marijuana is allowed under some circumstances in California and a dozen other states, but federal law bans the drug altogether. Though Lynch was not charged with violating state law, prosecutors contend that he broke the law because he was not truly a, quote, primary caregiver, entitled to dispense marijuana to patients, and that he profited from the operation of his business. Much of the discussion Thursday dealt with whether Wu was required to sentence Lynch to a mandatory minimum of 5 years or whether the defendant was entitled to a lesser sentence under a so-called safety valve. The next hearing in the case, which the judge said would be the last, is scheduled for June 11th. So, federal prosecutors contend Lynch was violating state law regarding the patient-caregiver relationship, yet since federal law doesn't recognize state medical marijuana laws, Lynch isn't allowed to mention the state law in his defense. Got it? When it comes to federally prosecuting Lynch, his violation of state law is admissible, but when it comes to federally defending Lynch, his adherence to state law is inadmissible. President Obama, when you promised, quote, "what I'm not going to be doing is using Justice Department resources to try to circumvent state laws on this issue," end quote, isn't the Charles Lynch case exactly what you had in mind? Attorney General Holder, when you promised, quote, "our focus will be on the people, organizations that are growing, cultivating substantial amounts of marijuana and doing so in a way that's inconsistent with federal and state law," end quote, how do you justify prosecuting Charles Lynch? Shortly after the Attorney General made the announcement on February 26th, I wrote this. Here's my prediction. We will see more medical marijuana dispensary raids, and the Obama administration will claim they have no issue with legitimate medical marijuana providers, but these providers were operating outside California law, and these providers were diverting medical marijuana to the black market, and these providers were selling to minors, and a whole raft of excuses where they emphasize that these providers are a reasonable exception to using Justice Department resources because they were outside of Prop 215 or Senate Bill 420 or Jerry Brown's guidelines, and therefore the DEA is not circumventing state laws on the issue. If the federal government believes that dispensaries are operating outside California law, then they need to refer those cases to California's attorney general. If California decides these people are violating California law, then California should prosecute them. The promise not to conduct raids unless dispensaries break California law is hollow when the feds get to decide whether someone broke California law with no trial or evidence before conducting the raid. New Hampshire Senate to vote on medical marijuana. Over the past few months, we've informed you frequently about upcoming votes in the state legislature of New Hampshire. None of these have been as pivotal as next week's Senate floor vote on House Bill 648. Yesterday, members of the Senate Health and Human Services Committee voted 4-1 in favor of House Bill 648, which seeks to make New Hampshire the 14th state to legalize the physician-supervised use of cannabis. That means that all that stands in the way of legal medical cannabis in New Hampshire is next week's Senate vote and the approval of Governor John Lynch. This is it, folks. Please take time today to write your state senator and tell him or her to vote yes on House Bill 648. In addition, please consider leaving a phone message for your senator, informing him or her that your future support for them will be based in large part on whether or not they vote in favor of House Bill 648. For your convenience, the phone numbers and a pre-written letter are available through links at our blog at stash.normal.org. Finally, after you have written and called your senator, please take a moment to contact Governor John Lynch and voice your support for medical cannabis reform. Again, we have his number and a pre-written letter that you can get through our blog at stash.normal.org. If you'd like more information on the measure, please visit nhcompassion.org. And thank you for supporting Normal's marijuana law reform efforts in New Hampshire. Senator Jim Webb, Democrat of Virginia. Pot legalization could be part of criminal justice overhaul. In an interview with the Huffington Post, Senator Webb said that everything should be considered, and he means everything. Webb said, quote, "I think everything should be on the table, and we specifically say that we want recommendations on how to deal with drug policy in our country, and we'll get it to the people who have the credibility and the expertise to see what they come up with," end quote. What about legalizing, taxing, and regulating marijuana? Webb paused, quote, "I think they should do a very careful examination of all aspects of drug policy. I've done a couple of very extensive hearings on this, so we'll wait to see what they say about that," end quote. So it's on the table? Webb flashed a wry grin, laughing mischievously. The last government study group to look at drug policy, the 1972 Schaefer Commission, recommended that President Richard Nixon decriminalize marijuana. He didn't. It's the obvious solution nobody can say out loud. Representative Rohrabacher said that if there was a blind vote, marijuana legalization would pass easily. The Senate, the House, and the President all know it, but they can't say it for fear of the soft on crime, soft on drugs backlash they think would result. That's where we come in. Enough of the public is still mired in the drugs are bad, okay, thinking, and can't tell the difference between heroin and marijuana that the prohibitionists are still able to frighten them with the
"what about the children?"
and
"pot is a gateway drug."
We are the ones who have to educate our friends, family, and coworkers about the differences and show them, by example preferably, that they have nothing to fear from legalized marijuana and its users. Victory in Kitsap. Lessons and moments from the Bruce Olson medical marijuana trial. I picked up these observations courtesy of Steve Elliott out at the Reality Catcher blog. Do surf to that blog and check out the whole story. It's a great retrospective on the Bruce Olson medical marijuana trial in Kitsap County, Washington, a trial that was successful for Bruce Olson, being acquitted of charges of manufacturing and possessing marijuana. This is from Steve Elliott's post. Anytime you spend a week with a group of fellow activists, as I have during this trial, there are plenty of memorable moments. Here are a few of mine, remembered in no particular order. When Prosecutor Foster attempted to impeach the credibility of defense witness Paul Stanford, an expert on marijuana cultivation, who is also CEO of the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, she wanted to use Stanford's long history with marijuana against him. Foster asked him, quote, "Why did you grow marijuana before it was legal for medical use?" end quote. Paul answered quickly, easily, and believably. "Because I like marijuana," he said. Bada bing! When Prosecutor Foster attempted to impeach Pamela Olson's testimony that she operated the grow room, the prosecutor implied that Pam wouldn't be able to pick up one of the ballast units used to power marijuana growing lights. Olson, who is quite a small woman, offered to pick up the ballast in front of the jury and did so, to the prosecutor's embarrassment. Prosecutor Foster attempted to impeach the credibility of defense witness Dr. Thomas Orvald, an expert in the use of medical marijuana. Foster first asked the doctor about his stated reluctance to prescribe harsh narcotic painkillers to his patients. Then, thinking she was swooping in for the kill, asked him, quote, "Why do you recommend marijuana if you are against narcotics?" end quote. To which the good doctor quickly and correctly answered, quote, "Because marijuana is not a narcotic," end quote.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We're old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
This has been a public service.
A 1,000 million years ago, nature said, let it grow.
There's nothing quite like growing your own marijuana plants. From the little seedling to the vegging stage to the harvest of big sticky buds, cannabis cultivation is the most rewarding hobby a marijuana connoisseur can enjoy. So to help our listeners with their gardens, every fourth Friday of the month, we welcome High Times Magazine's senior cultivation editor, Danny Danko, to answer your questions in our normal daily audio stash, Cultivator's Corner. We're real excited to be debuting this new feature, Cultivation Corner, with Danny Danko, the cultivation editor of High Times Magazine. Danny, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Russ. How are you?
Good, good. We'll be doing this every month on the fourth Friday of every month, so I want to encourage people to send in your cultivation questions to stash@normal.org and use the subject line cultivation question so I can find it. We've got a few that are built up here, Danny, for you to answer, so I guess we should just get right to it. We had a stasher who emailed in wanting to know, should one play music for their plants? And if so, what kind? Reggae? Salsa? Classic rock? Is there any science there on the use of music for growing plants?
You know, the science isn't, I don't think it's so much about music as it is about just vibration. Because if, at a microscopic level, if the plant leaves move, even slightly, they can replenish the air directly touching them. So, you know, if there's vibrations in the room that will move, the leaves around in a microscopic way, that can be helpful. I'm not sure about studies as far as specific music.
Yeah.
But I would imagine anything that you want to hear when you're in there, the plants would be okay with. And, you know, I mean, ultimately it's kind of, it's more for you than for the plants, I would imagine. But they enjoy it. I think it's better for them than just plain silence.
Well, maybe we can have someone out there set up an experiment. Set up one flowering room with rock and another flowering room with rap, and then Danny and I will come by and taste test to make sure which ones came up better.
Yeah, absolutely. The salsa should be interesting. I wonder what kind of flavors that would impart.
That'd be quite interesting. We had another question here. This was someone who's writing from apparently some arid area of the country, you know, maybe, you know, Arizona or something like that. But they're asking, what is the optimum humidity in a grow room? And any suggestions you might have for people that are having to grow in low humidity conditions?
Well, the optimum humidity for plant growth is anywhere between 40% and 60%. So pretty much about 50% is about optimal for humidity. And if it's low, you know, you can raise that with a humidifier. You can have, if you have any kind of a heater type of thing in the room, you can put water in a pot on top of that, and that will raise your humidity levels. A dehumidifier or any kind of dryer without water on top will lower humidity if the problem is too high.
Okay, and
humidity
so
tends to be a big problem in grow rooms too, because the lights typically will really dry out the air very quickly. So depending, I mean, very dry air is really not good for plants as much as very wet air isn't.
Gotcha. Okay, it reminds me of the old Stephen Wright joke. I was going to put a humidifier and a dehumidifier in the room and let them fight it out.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, I mean, that's the thing. You do want to maintain that humidity level so there's not big changes and fluctuations. It's good to have a humidistat and a hygrometer just to monitor that.
Are there any visual indicators for people that would tell them that they've got a humidity problem in their grow room?
Leaves will tend to curl, and I guess if you have really low humidity, the plant will just appear kind of dry and crisp, and growth will slow. And if the humidity is too high, that can cause molds and bacteria to flourish. So, and bugs as well. A lot of bugs really enjoy the high heat and high humidity, low humidity.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of, you know, the low humidity is the opposite problem of what we've got here in the Pacific Northwest. We're just drenched in humidity up here. Any tips for us?
Right, and that becomes a problem because you get powdery mildew, and it's just like, once it's there, it's very hard to get rid of, and it's kind of like a plague for the whole Pacific Northwest all the way up through Vancouver. So they always look for strains that are specifically, you know, bred to fight funguses.
Oh, really? What kind of strains would those be?
Just sort of like the hardier indicas that withstand the tougher climates of Canada, the mountainous climate and the humidity ranges that come in off the water. So, you know, strains that are basically bred up there are kind of acclimated to that environment.
Oh, okay. One more question here. This one comes from a stasher with the handle Pookie420, growing indoors. And this person's read that when the light cycle is reduced, the flowering area should be light tight. And the question here is, how light tight? Like a dark room?
Well, that's, again, that really depends on the strain. Light tight for most, you know, good quality cannabis genetics, without a tendency to hermaphrodite, isn't quite as important, because you can imagine the plants outdoors, that they're affected by moonlight and starlight and just all kinds of other ambient light that happens to be out there in the outdoors. So a lot of plants that are acclimated to an area aren't quite as sensitive. But if you're indoors and you have plants that have a tendency to potentially go hermy, we call it.
Yeah.
Then you really want it to be a bit more light tight, and all that really means is, you know, I guess I would say indoors it is important to keep the flowering area as light tight as possible, and to really kind of treat it somewhat like a dark room during those 12 hours of when the light is off.
Okay. Let me give you the hypothetical they listed here in the email. They've got two grow cabinets in a dark room. Both made out of like plastic, sort of Rubbermaid type material. And so when the lights are on in one cabinet, it tends to glow through that plastic. So if they've got one cabinet that's on a 6-18 cycle and the other one's on a 12-12 cycle, will the glowing cabinet affect the darkness for the other cabinet, I guess is the question.
I think it really depends on how much glow it is, and anything you can do to reduce that is gonna help in the flowering process. The problem with light invading those 12 hours is that it shocks the plant into basically going back into vegetative growth, and then it's very confusing to the plant. The plant is expecting to be in flowering, now the light is changing. So as a reaction to that confusion, sometimes the plants will, kind of in fear of their life, create male flowers on a female plant. And that can really, that can infest the whole garden with seeds. And it's really a nightmare, for a grower who's, you know, kind of relying on growing without seeds and having all females. And just one male pod can feed a whole grow room. So, and that could basically lead to a loss.
Mm. So definitely that doesn't sound like a good situation with the two grow cabinets like that then.
Yeah, anything you could do, I would put some kind of barrier between the cabinets, cardboard or wood or something in between them, so that to reduce any kind of glow that might be reaching the flowering cabinet.
All right. Well, we're approaching the month of May. Do you got any special tips for our outdoor growers?
Well, now's the time to put those plants out pretty soon. If you want big bushes, you want plants to be knee high in July, you really got to put them out now. Prepare the holes. Any kind of nutrients that you want to use, I would go with a nitrogen-heavy nutrient. Definitely preferably organic, something high in nitrogen like seabird guano or specific bat guanos that have nitrogen. Those are great. Seaweed, liquid seaweed is a great fertilizer for now. But the plants are young, so you really kind of want to go light on the fertilizer and just make sure they're watered in and that the roots are able to penetrate into the soil that they're in.
All right. Those sounds like good tips. And Danny Danko is the cultivation editor for High Times Magazine. You can get more information on all these grow questions and how to do it right. And of course, be able to order lots and lots of great books on indoor and outdoor growing through High Times Magazine. Check it out at your newsstand or at hightimes.com. And Danny will be with us on the fourth Friday of every month to answer your cultivation questions. Send us an email at stash@normal.org. Thanks a lot, Danny, and we'll talk to you next month.
Straight into there.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook rolls all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. Latino artist and 2008 Marijuana Music Awards nominee Breathe Life brings us Lockbox for It's a Wrap on Friday. Breathe Life, from Florida, have been played on radio across L.A., Chicago, New York, and Miami. From club tracks to conscious content, from hood hardness to humor, Breathe Life appeals to a wide variety of fans. To learn more about Breathe Life, check out myspace.com/breathelifemusic. This is Breathe Life with Lockbox.
Herbal-minded.
I'm a 85, 95 rider, you can catch me. Broke in the lockbox, why they wanna test me? I don't know you, and you don't know me. Let's keep it that way, let me smoke my damn weed. I'm a 85, 95 rider, you can catch me. Broke in the lockbox, why they wanna test me? I don't know you, and you don't know me. Let's keep it that way, let me smoke my damn weed. It up, smash out, moments away from the mash out. Call up my homie to pick it up, he at the stash house. Get in my ride, preaching time, reckless with them wise guys. Look out for them lights, see they searching us like we terrorize. Don't test me, blowing kush at the stop sign. Cowards pull up behind me, run my tags just to take mine. Hate the way we hand it still, in the club we panty rip. They stop and ask me what I do, I get paid off my penmanship. Hate the ballers, hate the rappers, cause we getting sucked tonight. Why these cops harassing me, I guess his wife don't fuck them. Right. What they do, pull us over, searches illegally. They put us on the curb to disgrace the scenery. I'm a 85, 95 rider, you can catch me. Broke in the lockbox, why they wanna test me? I don't know you, and you don't know me. Let's keep it that way, let me smoke my damn weed. I'm a 85, 95 rider, you can catch me. Broke in the lockbox, why they wanna test me? I don't know you,
and you don't know me. Let's keep it that way, and let me serve my damn trees. Master lock, stash box, hella haze, purple pot. 95 rider dog, niggas stay ducking cops. 75, 85, doing the limit when I ride. Master lock box, so cops can't look inside. Read my rights, I got the fight. Beat the law, I beat the charge. Sorry officer, you can lock me, but I know the law. In and out the system, bro. Smoking on that Crippio. Pounds in the vehicle, moving out the scene group. Ducking troops, hella hot. Breathe got the finest pot. Puff, puff, puff. Puff, 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 pass the pot. Yeah. Bump the law, bump the cops. Know the law, beat the case. Roll up, smoke one, fat blunt to the face.
I'm a 85, 95 rider, you can catch me. Broke in the lockbox, why they wanna test me? I don't know you, and you don't know me. Let's keep it that way, let me smoke my damn weed. I'm a 85, 95 rider, you can catch me. Broke in the lockbox, why they wanna test me? I don't know you, and you don't know me. That way, let me smoke my damn weed. I'm a marijuana burner, Nat Turner, money earner. Number one nigga they target, cause my skin's slightly darker. Plus the fact I fuck they daughters retarded, I get it started. Laying low like Leonardo and Departed, the artist. Here's a memo, not a demo, violating. We assemble like they did for Gina 6. I got 23 on my kick. I'm a civil rights activist, actively at high risk. They wanna stop and frisk, serve and protect me with an asterisk. If I resist, the situation disastrous. Them bastards on my hit list, in my hood, they the catalyst. The media, they threaten this, that's why they like to cuff the wrist. Throw us in the 4x4 and treat us like we don't exist. I'm a 85, 95 rider, you can catch me. Broke in the lockbox, why they wanna test me? I don't know you, and you don't know me. Let's keep it that way, let me smoke my damn weed. I'm a 85, 95 rider, you can catch me. Broke in the lockbox, why they wanna test me?
And you don't know me, let's keep it that way and let me serve my damn trees. 95, I'm riding out, cause up north they got a drought. Pounds in the lockbox, you know what I'm talking about. Crossing state lines, feds wanna take mines. No matter what they do, they won't stop my shine. Fed time, red line, fuck it, I'ma get mine. Transporting goods way past your fucking bedtime. Green color light line, my watch says it's high time. Your time is my time. 50 days, 120, grow 20, have plenty. Grow Reggie, have pennies. I don't know you, nah, dog. See, we ain't friendly. So grab your lockbox and hit the block. 95 rider screaming, fuck the cops.
I'm a 85, 95 rider, you can catch me. Broke in the lockbox, why they wanna test me? I don't know you, and you don't know me. Let's keep it that way, let me smoke my damn weed. I'm a 85, 95 rider, you can catch me. Broke in the lockbox, why they wanna test me?
Hi, this is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML. We are the oldest, largest, and best-known marijuana law reform organization in America. And it's all because of your support. Take some time to join NORML at www.normal.org. Your membership supports this podcast, our websites, our policy research and analysis, and our annual conferences. Changing marijuana laws is a grassroots effort, and it starts with you, the stakeholder. Join NORML today and add your voice to the millions of cannabis consumers who demand equality with our beer-drinking friends.
Legalization, decriminalization, lowest law enforcement priority, medical marijuana, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis, industrial hemp. The world of marijuana law reform involves many different aspects of cannabis that intersect nearly every public policy discussion in America, including healthcare, the economy, global climate change, law enforcement and prisons, immigration, religion, free speech, energy policy, and war. Now we take a look at how re-legalizing marijuana will change the world in our NORML Daily Audio Stash, Cannabis Conversations. I always like to say that the NORML Daily Audio Stash takes the pulse of the cannabis community, and there's so many people out there whose lives are affected by marijuana prohibition. One of the aspects that we look at here is the degradation of the relationship between citizens and the police when the drug war sets up a situation for police to abuse the rights of citizens all over something as silly as their personal, private, responsible adult use of marijuana. Joining us here to talk about this is one such cannabis consumer, one of our allies here in this fight, just an average citizen like you and me, a guy who contacted me by email by the name of Jonathan Duddy. And Jonathan, welcome to the Stash.
Thank you.
Now, Jonathan is living in Beaver County, Pennsylvania, and had a pretty harrowing experience involving the police there in that area. A young man, age 23, like a lot of the people who are regular cannabis consumers, an activist and self-employed man, doesn't cause any problems with the community. But Jonathan, let's go back to the night here in question. Tell our listeners, you know, how this all got started, how you got into trouble with the police.
Well, I was just sitting at home on 2:30 in the morning, Easter Sunday, and I had a friend stop by, and then my friend left, and 5 minutes later I had a knock on my door and a finger over the peephole so I couldn't see who it was. Hmm. So knowing my rights, I decided not to answer the door because they wanted to harm me and hurt me. That's my choice.
Did you know immediately that they were police? I mean, you said they had the finger over the peephole.
I knew, but they never said they were.
Okay. So they never announced that they were police officers. They're banging on your door. They're covering up the peephole, not telling, you know, who they are. Was there lots of voices behind that door?
There's one or two that I heard. They just kept saying my name over and over. So I decided just to sit there.
Yeah, and this is the middle of the night. This is 2:30 in the morning.
Yes.
Easter Sunday. So, okay. Yes, yes. Go on. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go on.
I just sat there, and about 15 minutes later, they kicked my door in, pointed about 15 Glocks in my face, and I didn't even have a metal fork
in
my room. Like,
So they're breaking down your door. Again, at this point, have they ever announced that they're police officers or that they have a warrant?
After they kicked my door in.
Okay. They kick your door in and they announce that they're cops. Do they show you a warrant of any kind?
No, they never showed me a warrant of any kind of a search warrant for items they were looking for or even a inventory list, which they're supposed to give me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so did they say anything as to why they'd kicked their door down or what was going on or...?
They said they had somebody following me and all this crazy nonsense.
So you're presuming here it was the alleged friend who was there beforehand?
Yes, I'm pretty positive about that.
Okay.
And so this kid's a younger kid also, and I know they scared him into it also by threats of jail time, etc. I don't think they should be allowed to do this to people. Like, it is horribly, horribly wrong and traumatic. Like, I think I need therapy sessions now just to cope with the agony and mental anguish that they've imposed on me and my friends.
Yeah, well, people, you know, breaking down your door and pointing guns at you is never a delightful thing to have happen, that's for sure. What's been the fallout since then? Were you charged, arrested? Did you have to do time? Or?
No, I haven't been charged. What they're trying to get me to become a confidential informant now, and I don't want to do that because I don't believe in ruining people's lives, and that's what they're doing. I mean, they've made me homeless. I don't have money to pay for a lawyer now, like, and I don't want to ruin anybody else's lives in this either. And that's why I wanted to let everyone know what they're doing, because it's wrong and despicable.
Yeah, it is. So they want you to become a confidential informant. That kind of suggests to me that they have something they're holding over you, some kind of charge that they're holding over you to try to get you to cooperate. Do you want to talk about that?
I know exactly what it is. They just haven't charged me.
Okay. So, once again, we get this situation where, these drug laws and this idea of these confidential informants, the whole way these were sold to the American people was that we would, you know, go up the ladder. We would go up the chain and get the big fish, right? We'd get the big drug dealers all the way at the top. But the way it works out is it gets guys like you, just average guys like you that you don't sound like a drug dealer kingpin to me.
Well, they treated me like a big fish, and like I said, I didn't even have a metal fork in my room.
it's a sad story, and
also the police, they threw away my tobacco and took a pair of scissors and stabbed it through the center of my white bread.
A loaf of bread?
I swear to God, they didn't even like slice my bread open to look for drugs or nothing. They just took a pair of scissors and stabbed my white bread.
Oh my God. Yeah. Did they destroy any of the rest of your property other than the door and the white bread?
They destroyed my whole room and all my property. And now I'm homeless out in the streets now. And I'm not sure what to do with the rest of my life. Mm.
Wow, Jonathan, that's, you know, I hear this so many times, and every time I hear it, it still breaks my heart to hear people's lives being ruined like this. You sound like a good guy and you're young. You're 23.
I've never hurt anybody at all in my life. And every day I strive to help change the world and make it a better place. But people like the police are in the world who need 15 guns to do their dirty work are hurting families, lives, everyone. They're hurting the community. They're dragging down everybody.
Yeah. If our listeners out there have any way that they can help you over there in Beaver County, Pennsylvania, is there any way they can get in touch with you?
You could get in contact through me through the WPA Normal website or the MySpace.
Okay. Western Pennsylvania Normal at WPANormal.org. We'll have links to that up on our blog as well. I know there's a lot of people out there that want to help people like you. So anything we can do to get that communication going, I certainly hope we can. Also, if anyone wants to help out Jonathan, send me an email here, at stash@normal.org, and I'll pass it along and see what we can do to maybe get you some legal representation or some help in other ways, Jonathan.
Well, I appreciate it. Like I said, I want the world to know what they're doing because it's wrong, and no longer can people hide behind it or the police. Like, mass media is my tool to use.
Excellent. And we'll help you in that cause too, everyone. Jonathan Duddy in Beaver County, Pennsylvania, thank you for stepping out of the closet and making this known to people so they know the tragedies that are going on here in the name of the war on marijuana. Thanks for joining us and for being brave.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with a reminder to have fun this weekend and all the upcoming summer weekends, but don't forget to flex your rights. Check out the website flexyourrights.org and learn how to stand up for your constitutional rights in a police encounter. Never consent to a search. Never let police officers into your home without a warrant. And remember, you have the right to remain silent. You ought to think about using it. Also remember that an attorney from the Normal Legal Committee can be one of your best friends after one of these encounters. Check the web at normal.org and look up our legal committee. Copy down the number of the one nearest you and keep it in your wallet. You never know when you're going to need that expert friend to help you out of a tight situation. We're getting ready for the Global Marijuana March, or as we call it here in Portland, the Global Cannabis March, coming up a week from tomorrow, Saturday, May 2nd. It's always on the first Saturday in May, and over 248 cities are participating. Look them up at globalmarijuanamarch.org, and we'll see you there. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.